It's Living the Bream with host of Fox News at Night, Shannon Bream.
This week's episode of Living the Bream, we are very excited to have two legal eagles with us as we look ahead to the confirmation hearings of Judge Brett Kavanaugh, obviously the nominee from President Trump, to replace now officially retired Justice Kennedy from the U.S. Supreme Court. Jamil Jaffer, he was associate counsel to President Bush at the White House. He worked on both the Roberts and Alito confirmations, if I'm correct on that, and has clerked for now Justice Gorsuch when he was with the 10th Circuit. Welcome, Jamil. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Shannon, for having me.
Also on the line, we have Justin Walker with us, assistant professor at the University of Louisville, teaching first year legal research and writing, as we discussed before we got started, one of my most terrifying classes in law school. I'm sure he is a fantastic professor. He clerked for Judge Brett Kavanaugh, now the nominee, and also Justice Anthony Kennedy, the man he hopes to replace. Justin, welcome.
Thanks very much, Shannon.
Okay, so let's talk through a few things. The last I heard, the plan is to do this in September. I had someone tell me a few weeks ago, August. I think that's really pushing it. But now we have that Judge Kavanaugh has met with dozens of folks, including at least one Democrat. Having done this confirmation process before, Jamil, what do you make of this? Because I know that there are two Republicans he hasn't met with, Senators Collins and Murkowski. He's got Joe Donnelly, another Democratic senator, coming up. But what do you make of the fact that they're going to need those two votes for sure, those two GOP votes, and yet no meeting so far?
Well, look, I mean, it's unprecedented to have so few Democrats this late in the process that's been nominated to not have met with him. And look, these things get scheduled. Scheduling things are hard to get done. I'm sure he will meet with Senators Murkowski and Collins, and he'll meet with all Democrats who are willing to meet with him. The White House has indicated it's very clearly open to those meetings and wants to have them. Judge Kavanaugh's made clear he wants to meet with them. And so there's no bar to that. It's really just getting it on the schedule and getting it done.
All right. Well, we have a little bit of this today. This comes to me from Mike Emanuel, our chief congressional correspondent. He passes this along with some additional notes. He says that Democrats, led by Senators Schumer and Feinstein, will begin meeting with Judge Kavanaugh after the break to demand the missing documents from him directly and question him about their contents. Justin, my understanding of how this all works is that he can't actually release these documents himself. How do you think he'll handle these meetings? You know him well. How does he navigate this with the Democrats?
Well, I think that Judge Kavanaugh is always going to take the high road. He's always going to be able to talk about his legal philosophy, and he can talk about his approach to the law, but it's not ethical to deal with specific cases, and it's certainly not allowed to disclose anything that can't be disclosed. I think that the senators you mentioned are probably not the most open-minded senators in this process, but I do think, I'm hopeful, that there are open-minded people left, right, and center in the Senate and outside of the Senate. And the more they learn about Judge Kavanaugh, I really think the more they're going to like what they learn.
Yeah, and we've heard from people who will say that they're probably not coming from the same ideological perspective as him, but they laud him for his scholarship, for his reasoning, for his background, and how he's performed on the bench, whether they agree with his judicial philosophy or not. Interesting, we've been keeping an eye on Senator Doug Jones, who won that really crazy race down in Alabama. And he had to say this week. He said, we've gone to a bad place in this country with Supreme Court nominations. And he talks about how people were going into their corners before we even knew Judge Kavanaugh, Jamil, was going to be the guy. We didn't have a name.
Well, you know, it's amazing. When I was up at the Supreme Court the night that Judge Gorsuch was nominated, you were there too, and you saw people carrying signs that said oppose, and there was just a blank where you just fill in
it
the name.
It literally was blank, and they had markers.
Right. I mean, unbelievable. And they did the exact same thing with Judge Kavanaugh, and it's just outrageous. I mean, you know, it's not so long ago that Justice Scalia and Justice Ginsburg were confirmed with huge majorities of both parties in the Senate. So
it's hard to believe.
Yeah, it's inexplicable why we're at this point in our country.
Well, but to be fair, I mean, the left will say this president made clear during the campaign that he had very specific ideas about the kind of justices that he would appoint and judges that he would appoint, which he's done quite a bit on the lower courts as well. But he talked about wanting people who were pro-life. Justin, that worries people. They say it's a litmus test. The left, that's why they had those blank signs out there, because they felt he'd already signaled to them, I'm going to pick someone who goes after Roe v. Wade. What do you make of those claims with regard to Judge Kavanaugh?
Well, I guess I would have two thoughts. The first is that Judge Kavanaugh's record suggests that he is an independent, thoughtful, fair-minded person, and he will be so on this issue and on all issues. And that's why, as you mentioned earlier, Shannon, so many people, left, right, and center, have come out in support of him. Just this week, Lisa Blatt, who describes herself as a liberal feminist lawyer and who is probably the leading female advocate at the Supreme Court bar, wrote a glowing op-ed in Politico talking about what a great jurist Judge Kavanaugh is, what a thoughtful person he is, and how he really is very much in the mainstream of judging. And then with specific reference to Roe and really to all precedents, anybody who's wondering how Judge Kavanaugh will approach settled precedents of the court should take a look at his book. It's called The Law of Legal Precedence. It's co-authored with 12 other distinguished judges. And on page after page, chapter after chapter, Judge Kavanaugh talks about the virtues of respecting settled precedents, how it encourages the rule of law and promotes stability and predictability.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things, as they try to follow the paper trail and get clues, folks on the left who want these documents to come in, not only from his time on the bench, I mean, anybody can read the 300-plus or so opinions, they can read his dissents, they can see where he is as a jurist, which I think most senators, left, right, and center, would say that's supposed to be how you decide on nominees. But this letter today, we find out that the head of the archivist at the National Archives says in a letter to Senator Chuck Schumer, obviously the top Democrat in the Senate, that requests for sensitive documents for Kavanaugh's time as Bush staff secretary need to come from the Judiciary Committee's office per longstanding precedent. And I know there's been a lot of back and forth from Senator Grassley and others saying a lot of these documents would be available from the Bush Library without waiting for the archivist. Jamil?
Well, look, and the Bush Library is going through a process, as they are allowed to do, to review the documents, determine what's privileged, and I think they intend to release them as quickly as possible. Now, the reality is, with the staff secretary documents, these are documents that are very sensitive, subject to executive privilege, long-standing precedent there. Same, just like with Justice Kagan's SG stuff. The Senate didn't ask for those. They didn't get it. And so there's no reason to ask for the staff secretary documents. I think that the Bush Library intends to produce over 1 million pages of documents. Compared to the last large production, 182,000 pages for Judge Gorsuch, I mean, that's a 10x increase over the last large production.
Well, I thought this was an interesting tweet from Alex Sawyer. She is a lawyer. I know her well. She writes over the Washington Times, too. She notes this. She says, if Democrats got the nearly 4 million pages in Kavanaugh's record, it would be 22 times the number released for Kagan. If it takes 1 minute to read each page, it'll take about 2,700 days, 7 to 8 years of continuous reading for one person to get through it. Justin, they're hoping to get this thing done by October 1st, when the Supreme Court term starts again. That's certainly not 2,700 days from now.
Well, Shannon, you know, this is the kind of question that politicians just wake up in the morning and they love to argue about. Are we going to produce 1 million documents, or are we going to produce 2 million documents? And are they going to come from a library in Texas, or are they going to come from a library in D.C.? At the end of the day, as Jamil said, we know that there are going to be many more documents produced for Judge Kavanaugh than have ever been produced for a judicial nominee. And on top of that, as you said, there's really even less need to dig into the ancient past than there has been for any other nominee, because Judge Kavanaugh has been a judge for 12 years. He's authored 300 opinions. He's been vindicated by the Supreme Court 13 times. And so we don't have to guess, based on tea leaves from 30 years ago, what kind of judge Judge Kavanaugh will be. We know exactly what kind of judge he'll be. He'll be the kind of independent, fair-minded, brilliant mind that he's been for the past 12 years on the bench.
Yeah, and we've touched on this idea of whether or not he'll have to sit there in the confirmation hearings and answer specific questions about how he feels about the right to privacy, Roe v. Wade, all of these things that he could potentially rule on. And we saw what a lot of folks refer to as the Ginsburg standard years ago during her confirmation, when she was asked about certain things that she's kind of deferred. If I'm going to decide on it as a judge, if it's going to come before me, it's not proper for me, especially if we're just hiking in hypotheticals to talk about it here. But it's interesting, when I went back and watched her confirmation hearings, parts of them, she did thoroughly walk through her explanation of how she feels about the issue of abortion rights. So it's not that she talked about Roe v. Wade, but she did talk about how she felt about some of the issues. Jamil, do you think, with that in mind, that there's going to be a lot of pressure on Judge Kavanaugh to talk about issues, if not specific precedents?
Well, look, there shouldn't be. I mean, every judge to be nominated to the Supreme Court has taken the same position, which is no hints, no previews, no guesses. That's what Ginsburg said. Now, it's true that on the issues where she felt like she could get away with it, just like some judges do, you know, she showed a little more leg on that. And that's, you know, people can feel—
Justice Ginsburg showing leg during the confirmation hearings? That's going to be the headline of this podcast.
But, you know, I mean, look, the challenge here is that you don't want judges talking about their views on particular cases because you don't want them to prejudge it. You want them to judge the case based on the facts that come before them in that case and the precedent that's come before and the specific law that applies to that case. And if you have a judge giving previews, the litigants before them are not going to feel like they're getting a fair shake. And that's exactly what you don't want in the federal judiciary, least of all at the U.S. Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Justin, having clerked for both Justice Kennedy and Judge Kavanaugh, where do you think they're similar? Where do you think they're different, how they will be from the bench?
Well, I think that the first similarity that comes to mind is that they both are models of civility and collegiality in an era where that's becoming, unfortunately, rarer and rarer. They both served with 17 different judges who span the ideological spectrum, and those judges respect Kennedy and Kavanaugh and I think also think of them as friends. They also, I think, have a very independent, fair-minded approach to judging, and one of the indications of that is how they hire law clerks. So the year that I clerked for Justice Kennedy, there was an ideologically diverse group of clerks. And Judge Kavanaugh himself has hired such ideologically diverse clerks. They've gone on to clerk not just for conservative Supreme Court justices, but for Kagan and Sotomayor and Stevens and Breyer. So I think if you're looking for similarities, I would start with their independent approach to the law and also with their civility and collegiality. Obviously, there are some differences. I think Judge Kavanaugh would self-identify as more of a textualist than the pragmatic Justice Kennedy might. But I think there are really an awful lot of similarities.
So let's talk, too, about the impact of the midterm elections in the fall. You know, a lot of folks say they think it's going to fire up one base or the other if Judge Kavanaugh is confirmed before the midterms and starts his new first term on the Supreme Court. There are those who will say it will energize the right, that this president's already gotten two seats on the bench within, you know, less than 2 years of being president. Others say, though, listen, the left is going to be furious, and this is going to prove to them they need to try to take back control of the Senate. Whatever they can get in the House, they're talking impeachment, some of them, although some Democrats say don't talk about that. So looking ahead to the midterms, Jamil, how do you think that this helps or hurts the Trump administration if Kavanaugh is confirmed before?
Well, look, it's hard to estimate what's going to happen in the upcoming election because so much turns on any given day, what's happening on the news, what's happening on Twitter. I mean, we've seen sort of polls whipsaw based on day-to-day news. And so it's hard to know what impact the Kavanaugh confirmation would have. But at the end of the day, this president was duly elected by the people, and elections have consequences. And he's going to get his nominee to the Supreme Court, whether it happens before or after the elections. And so there's no reason to hold this up. If anything, I think it probably puts people in a more vulnerable position, Democrats in a more vulnerable position, to hold him up and try to hold that out there with everyone knowing he will get confirmed.
Mm-hmm. And Justin, I mean, I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but I mean, this president is really setting a breakneck pace when it comes to filling district and appellate court seats as well. How much of an impact does a president have based on stocking all of those courts from the lowest federal tier all the way through the Supreme Court the way that this administration has done so far?
Well, I think that the impact is huge, at least it has the potential to be huge, depending on, you know, how many nominees a president is able to get through. You heard President Trump say that when he nominated Judge Kavanaugh, that this decision is one of the most important presidential decisions that a president makes, second perhaps only to questions of war and peace. So I think that President Trump has already nominated a lot of judges who have a textualist approach to the law, where they care what the law is. They don't find themselves in the business of inventing the law or creating law. And I think Judge Kavanaugh is very much in that mold. He goes where the law leads without any passion or prejudice for one side or the other.
Do you guys think that people actually, average Americans out there, watch the confirmation hearings? I mean, like, I love it. I'm popping popcorn. I'm so excited. I'm a legal nerd. But you really can get to know these judges, these nominees, a little bit more if you watch. Jamil, I'll ask you first. Do you think people are really plugged into this? Or I mean, for me, when I see a poll that says this many Americans want Kavanaugh confirmed or not, I'm like, these people have no idea who he is. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I think more than we might expect. I think that when it comes to the Supreme Court in particular, a lot of people do pay attention. Now, they might not be watching the entire hearing sort of, you know, reel to reel, end to end. But I do think they're paying attention to the outtakes and seeing what happens, in part because these nine people in the Supreme Court, these nine unelected people, mm-hmm. Have become so influential in our lives. And that's part of the problem here, right? When you have judges that don't have a due respect for the political branches, the people who are elected and replaced as need be by the people, you have a situation where the Supreme Court is making policy and has a huge impact on policy, and that's why people pay attention. If the Supreme Court had more justices who followed the law as the political branches have passed it and who interpret the Constitution in line with what our framers intended, what our framers wrote, the words they wrote and the original public understanding of those words, well, then people would pay a lot less attention to the Supreme Court, and that probably would be a good thing. It'd be good for the stability of the rule of law, and it'd be good for people understanding what the law is and how to govern their lives.
Yeah, and Justin, there are times, though, that we've seen people who are conservatives who are frustrated that an end result in a case doesn't come out the way that they wanted. But they do say, as a true conservative, they want these judges to simply interpret the laws as written, not be activists, not legislate from the bench. But sometimes that means they end up with a result that they think a quote-unquote conservative judge or nominee should have arrived at a different destination.
I think that's right. I think that, you know, Judge Kavanaugh goes where the law leads, and as a result, sometimes he'll rule, for example, for a criminal defendant who's not a especially sympathetic fellow, but Judge Kavanaugh looks at the Bill of Rights and says, well, you have a right to confront the witness against you, or, well, your lawyer was ineffective, and that violates your right to the effective assistance of counsel. You know, though, I think, Shannon, going back to the question you just asked Jamil about whether people care about these issues, whether they'll be watching the confirmation hearings, I was just in Alaska talking about Judge Kavanaugh there, and they told me over and over again at a couple of different public forums, they said, we are sick and tired of federal bureaucrats thousands and thousands of miles away who are making rules that affect our lives, and nobody voted for these bureaucrats. And they said, we've read the Constitution, and we think that, you know, the people who make laws are supposed to be members of Congress, people who we actually elected. And so then when I tell them about Judge Kavanaugh's approach to agency decisions and the administrative state, they really see the connection between his defense of constitutional principles and the separation of powers and its connection to their individual liberty and their individual lives. And so I really do think that people care about these issues. It really affects them where they live. And the more they learn about Judge Kavanaugh, hopefully through the confirmation hearings, the more they're going to support him.
Yeah, it's interesting you say people do care about the issues, but I always shed a tear, a little one, get a little choked up whenever we have these polls where people are asked to name one Supreme Court justice and they can't. Although, usually I think the ones they do remember are Justice Ginsburg and Justice Thomas. It seems like, you know, they obviously have had plenty of headlines. She said just days ago that she would like to be on the court for at least 5 more years. With that in mind, I'll ask you both, and Justin, this time I'll start with you. Who do you think would be the next person to retire? Assuming there's no emergency or anything like that. I mean, who? Clearly Justice Ginsburg is not thinking about it right now, but who do you think might in the coming years?
My goodness. I would really be hesitant to speculate. There's certainly no one on the court who I would wish to retire before they're ready to retire. I would be hesitant to speculate.
Yeah, I mean, they all seem like they're in fighting shape, and, you know, we get to chat with them, as you all do, behind the scenes, and they seem mentally sharp. But do you think, Jamil, anybody's thinking about it?
To be totally honest with you, I don't think so. I think everyone is sort of there. They're there to stay. They care about these issues deeply. They're serious people. Whether you agree or disagree with them, they're all very smart and very committed to our Constitution and our way of life. You may disagree with them vehemently, but they are all very passionate about the work they do and are there to, I think, there to be there as long as they can.
Well, we will see when we are next having this conversation. In the meantime, we believe at this point we'll be gearing up for the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings in September. And I'm sure we'll be talking with both of you on TV and on podcast as we go through that process. Justin and Jamil, thank you both very much for living the dream.
Awesome, Shannon. Thanks for having us.
Shannon.